IronOverload.io presents Iron Overload No Bullshit Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the UG info like you've never heard before. No bullshit, no lies, straight hardcore truth. A bodybuilding podcast like you never heard before. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5.
IronOverload.io Hardcore Episode 60, speeding right along on the way to 100. Training hard in the gym. Why? And this is a great one because we have a great guy, Mobster here, and he is really been studying this stuff for decades and has tried every type of workout. And this is a really good one to talk about training hard. And you know, one of the things, you know, we have to kind of separate too in this podcast, I think, Mobster, is learning the difference between training hard, training smart, training like an idiot, training undisciplined, different things. So there's a lot to get into on this podcast. So we're going to bring in, I'm going to bring in Mobster right away. First touch on this, Mobster. This is your topic. You wanted to talk about it. So what made you want to talk about this topic?
There's a bunch of factors, and I'm going to let Steve break the factors down. But let me start by prefacing the following. I have extremely fortunate in a way to have influenced. I can think of a couple of individuals who have a world class strength athletes, and they've been influenced by training that we did back in the day together, to the point where that is the same kind of information that they're handing out to their clients and their customers or people that they coach. And indeed have written articles based on information that I shared with them back in the day when I was kicking ass. And arguably, as Steve knows from my log on the forums, I'm actually perversely, Steve, and I really can't understand it, and I'm not going to question it because I want to hit that number this Friday. I'm actually on a couple of things at my all-time fucking best. I literally broke a PB today, about an hour and a half or so ago before this podcast, on a particular lift. And I'm 59 years of age. So there's a bunch of things you could talk about consistently, just getting your ass into the gym and putting the work in. But here's the thing, right? And again, Steve talks about training smart. People talk about, we see this on the forum, Steve. Oh, I go to the gym and I'm there 6 days a week. And I couldn't train 6 days a week, Steve. I just couldn't. I've done it. I've done 7 days a week for very short periods of time and deliberately done it to overtrain. But if I train 6 days a week, it'd be too much. So the amount of times you go to the gym don't mean shit. Equally, we've had people say, I'm in the gym for an hour and a half, in the gym for 2 hours. Listen, motherfucker, the guy behind the counter is there for eight. I don't care how long you're in the gym. It's the work you do. Now, and some of it is a question of degrees. I could look at logs. I could look at my training log and so on and so forth. And I can think of one individual recently, and I did ask, was doing 22 exercises for triceps, 22 exercises, or sorry, 22 sets for triceps and 22 sets for biceps. So in my mind, straight away, they were doing a certain level of work, but they wasn't training hard. Steve and I know that I can say this about Steve because I know some of the stuff that Steve's done. If you were training your ass off for 22 sets just on triceps, Steve, you would be in bit. Fuck me, I'd probably have to take you to hospital. So I know for a fact that the person who's done 22 sets, they might well have felt some stimulus. They might well have made something happen. But I would have probably had, and you would have probably had them do 6 sets, 4 sets, and do enough to stimulate growth, enough to make something happen without necessarily needing to put the rest of the volume of work in. And again, if you're not a professional bodybuilder or even a competing bodybuilder, do you need specifically to target the outer head or the inner head of your triceps and so on and so forth? So the reality of the situation, and I will include myself in this, is there have been many times, and people that are listening to this podcast go onto the forums and look at my log and go, fucking hell, Mobs is moving some weight. And I might even describe the occasional training session as absolutely brutal. Trained when I'm at a lay down, Steve. Literally had a 30 or 40 minute nap after the workout. But equally, there, even when I've been close to that, there's been times, could I have done another set? Yes, could I have done another two or three reps because I stopped at four or five or six reps? Could I have done seven or eight? Yes. If you'd have got a gun out and put that gun against my head, could I have trained that little bit more, that little bit harder? Yes. So the purposes of today's podcast isn't just to talk about overtraining, making sure that your training is focused, because it's a part of that as well. But it's also about, and in my mind, especially Steve, encouraging the listener to put out, to go to the gym with a sense of purpose, with structured training, targeted training, and then once they're there, put their balls on the table. And I mean that in a metaphorical sense. I want you to come away from this podcast going, right, I'm not going to fuck up. My training is going to be very specific. Listen, how many users, listeners to this podcast, but how many gym users go, I want to put 3/4 of an inch on my chest. I want to put 1/2 inch on my arms. A lot of the time, we would go to the gym with an almost unstructured kind of training. I'm very strength specific. So I will say I would literally write out a plan of how I'm going to get to X or Y weight on the bench, on this lift, on that lift. I'm at the point in my training, Steve, but it's actually sometimes how much more weight can I get on the machine? But there's still a mentality about what I do in the gym to target those particular things. I don't go there randomly thinking, let's see what the hell's going to happen. And I'm going to use Dorian Yates as a great example of this, with training diaries, with the idea that he went away and read a bunch of books before he even went to the gym. And that he would literally, especially in the early days of his training, if something wore him out or overtrained him, he stopped doing it. He would, if two sets or three sets, work sets were too much and he was getting injuries, he did less work sets. And arguably, apart from the very, very end of his career, where even he said he was probably overtraining and that's the reason why he had those injuries, he was super analytical in that particular regards. But you guys can go off and check his videos, especially the blood and gut stuff that's sampled on YouTube, and see just how hard and intense the training was. So like I said, let's talk, Steve, about, as you said, the misdirected training, the unstructured training, the faffing about in the gym that you referred to earlier on. And then I really want to get the listeners' juices going with putting absolute as much effort as they possibly can into structured, into properly thought about and properly applied training. So talk about how people can fuck up, be misdirected and get injuries and so on and so forth before we really get their juices going.
Yeah, and listen, you know, I go to gyms. A lot of gyms are really anal about behaving like a gorilla, you know, and throwing weights around and dropping weights and doing that sort of thing. So you're not going to be able to get away with that. But let's say you're training at home. Let's say you're training in more of a garage style gym where they kind of just let you do whatever you want. In those situations, it's not going to be in your best interest to go around doing 1 or 2 rep maxes, throwing weights around, trying to do more weight than you can do. There's always that stereotype, and I've seen this many times though, of that group of young kids. And I don't like to, you know, to say this because it happens with all ages, but it's usually a group of young guys who you've never seen them in the gym before. They just show up. Maybe they got in that day as a guest. Maybe, you know, their uncle works for the gym or whatever, but they're not regulars. So they just show up to the gym in a group and they put on a bunch of weight on the bench press and they're sitting around laughing, not taking it seriously. And then one of them tries to do like 300 pounds and like he gets it down to his chest and he can't even move it. And then the other, there's like, takes like two of them to pull the weight off of them. You know, we see that. And that's an example of behaving like a moron, because you're not going to magically, if you never trained before and you never worked out, you're not going to magically just show up out of nowhere, put 300 pounds on the bench press and be able to do that kind of weight. So that would be an example of training like a moron, you know, but that's not hard training. That doesn't make you tough because you can load up a bunch of weight on there and try to push it. And then they usually just let them try to push it a little bit. And then he's like, okay, take it from me. And then they'll pull it off of them. Same thing with squats. How many times do you see people go in there with squats, load up 3 plates, and then they go down like 10 degrees and then go back up? That's not squats. You get that shit down ass to grass. At least do 45 degree angle, 90 degree angle, whatever. And at least attempt to do it properly here. And we see that a lot with squats, people don't do them properly. People kind of lean the wrong way. You should be solid on your heels when you're doing squats. You shouldn't be leaning forward or leaning back or falling as you're doing them or struggling just to bring the weight down. You should bring the weight down, pause, then go back up. It's all about proper form is what I'm trying to get at. And I had a guy one time on the forum say, Steve, what does it matter if I use proper form or not? As long as I'm moving the weight, that's all it counts. Well, it matters because you're going to end up hurting yourself. And when you injure yourself, it's going to set you back big time. And even a small injury over time can turn chronic. And that small injury can turn big over time. And then now you're dealing with a nagging injury that won't go away. And now you're forced to take time off. Because if you don't take time off, your body isn't going to heal. It's just going to last for months and months and months. And you're going to start getting inflammation and tendonitis and all this other stuff come in. So it's important for the start to know if you want to train quote unquote hard, you have to do it with correct form. It doesn't matter how hard you train. I don't care. You've got to do it with the correct form because the injury bug is going to catch up to you one day. The problem is when you're younger, you can injure yourself and recover from those injuries. But as you get older, the wear and tear, you got lower HGH in your body. There's a lot of factors that come and you will wear and tear your body to the point where you're going to end up injuring yourself. And it's going to become a chronic injury. And talk to any guy in the gym who's in his 50s or 60s, who's still grinding all the time in the gym. And they'll say, well, I've had this injury and it comes and goes as it pleases. I've had it for 2 years and it comes and goes. My knees swell up, comes and goes as it pleases. My elbows, shoulders, these are common things in the joints, comes and goes as they pleases. Why? Because they injured themselves and they don't allow it to heal and their bodies are older. It's not going to heal. A younger guy can get away with more stuff and they're going to get away with it and their bodies are going to heal and they'll be able to move on. But as you get older, those bad habits will catch up to you. Go ahead, Mobster.
Definitely, Steve. I mean, I've been guilty of some of these foolishness in the day. And this is the reason why, of course, we learn and we pass on the information. Don't make our mistakes. Doing partial lifts and I mean, there's even a couple of lifts I do now where the weight is so big that the form is sloppy and I'm incredibly lucky. But as Steve said, I've had injuries, I've had stuff I've had to get past. And again, you learn these lessons. And that's why us old motherfuckers, supposedly wiser heads, pass on this stuff back to you. So listen, right? If it was a cheat curl versus a concentration curl, you're going to get more direct stimulus. And cheat curl has its place, but only after you ground the fuck out the strictest possible form and targeted the muscle. And this is specifically aimed at bodybuilders when I make this comment. Not all our listeners are bodybuilders, but we'll use the bodybuilder because it's the most common listener and focus, right? So let me give you a singular piece of advice, okay? Have a particular aim, a structure, a target. We get users come onto the forum and say, I want to gain 10 pounds. You go, okay, where? Do you want it on your shoulders? Do you want it in your chest? Do you want it in your back? Do you want it on your waist? 10 pounds on your waist is easy. No, you want it all over, but you want it to be muscular. So, okay. Now, I don't you necessarily want every single listener or user of the forums to spell out every single detail of what they actually want. But when, and I'll use myself as an example, Steve, if I... Thursday, this particular Thursday, I'm actually going to ease off the gas a little bit because I'm going to go for it on Friday with the bench press. But here's last Thursday's workout. It was hammer curls, and the last set is loose as fuck, it has to be said, and skull crushers. And it is, I think I do, I'm going to say five sets each. So 10 sets total, maximum. I think it was slightly less. And it's brutal. The top set of hammer curls is 90 kilograms. That's put a dumbbell in one arm being thrown around for 12 reps last Thursday with nearly 200 pounds. Skull crushers was a little bit over 200 pounds on an easy curling bar. Total sets, let's say 9 sets, Stephen, including the bar of super light on the hammer curl warm-ups. Took me 45 minutes. I was dying. It's horrendous. Just throwing the big dumbbell around is stressful for the whole goddamn body. And then if you think that's kind of loose form, fine. But the earlier weights up to, I think, 60 kilos, it's kind of tight. So I will go home of a night time. And I know that I've had a good workout, especially with the hammer curls, because the brachial muscle, I'll be reading a book in bed, Steve, when my forearms start to cramp up. The brachial muscle, which is the muscle in the forearm that tucks underneath the bicep and between the bicep and tricep, and gives your arm a certain degree of width, which is one of the reasons I do it. It's also good for my bench press. Cramps up. I have to straighten my arms out and massage it with the other arm, and then just bending the other arm to massage the one that's cramping up makes it cramp up, and so on. So it's like, what the fuck? But that's precisely why I did it. Now, I did that with 9 sets of 2 exercises. And what I see a lot of, and occasionally I'm fortunate enough, both Friday's podcast, the forums, and in person, to have a little bit of degree of influence on occasionally take someone and walk them through it verbally, whatever, and get them to do just a 5x5 program, Steve, for bench, or showing, and we did a podcast recently on how to get the most out of your bench press. And Steve and I have both long enough in the tooth and with enough time under the bar that we can show you little nuances. Steve specifically referred to the bench press podcast, how someone had shown him and talked him through getting a good bench press. And Steve, height, weight, size, etc., has an outstanding bench press for his structure. Outstanding. As good as mine is for the size that I am, Steve's is right up there for his size and structure. Trust me, he's just a few pounds behind me as we do this podcast. So he's outstanding. And he had a really, really good teacher. And trust me, it wasn't doing pec flies and resistance bands and whatever else. It was just learning to work as hard as possible on the briefest, least amount of exercise as possible. So here's a few things, like I said. I want you to go to the gym with a structure. That might mean throwing out some of the bullshit exercises that you're doing. Okay, so I would rather have you do, for example, in a case of arms, 3 exercises for your biceps and 3 exercises for your triceps. I really would. Okay, I don't care what the program you've done is. I don't care what you've read in the last issue of Men's Fitness. I'm not interested. I'm only interested in you get the most out of what you do when you go to the gym. Now, that's number one. Number two is learning the mind-muscle connection. What do we mean by that? When you do certain exercises, and for example, tricep kickbacks, a great example, Steve, done properly, you will get something that feels like it's almost cramping up in the muscle. And the nerve signals that are going between your tricep and your brain are quite strong. Oh my God, there's a burn. It really hurts when I straighten my arm out with that light dumbbell and so on and so forth. If you can then take that same level of sensation and put it into, say, for example, skull crushers or push downs, or even bench dips or something like that, and literally just have that muscle cramping up, that muscle contracting that hard, you're not going to want to do 5 or 6 or 10 exercises or 22 sets. You're only going to want to do 3 or 4 sets and 3 or 4 exercises. It doesn't have to be crazy weights because you've learned how to get the most out of it. And these are the kind of small things, small hand position changes, and literally just having, for example, you squeeze the muscle at the point of contraction. That's going to make that workout that much harder. Now, Steve, I want to touch on something else, and it was a small note that I made. Okay? And we've actually touched on this briefly in a way on other podcasts. Some of what we do when we talk about performance enhancement drugs is we kind of compensate. There's an idea that I will get that much more muscular if I take steroids versus that much more muscular if I trained harder or I ate better or I rested better. I've used this analogy and other things, and I'll get Steve to come in on this. There is a difference. Absolutely, there is a difference between the amount of muscle that you can gain using performance enhancing drugs, but you cannot out-drug a shit workout or out-drug a poor diet. And I use this analogy that I've used on other shows. And the analogy is thus, and it's to do with Dexter Jackson, the Blade, referring to the fact that he still had to eat clean to get into the best condition. He still had to diet. He still had to do cardio. Okay? And if you've ever seen, and again, Dexter's a good example, Steve, training with Charles Glass at Gold's Gym, Charles put him through the ringer. He would have a couple of other people. I think Chris Psycho Lewis, who was working with the coach, and the two of them together would put him through the ringer. They would put, make sure that even though he had great genetics, even though he'd been in Mr. Olympia, that in order for him to place well, for all of him to look good and be in great shape, they couldn't let him slack off. And he would pay these motherfuckers. He went to them specifically because they knew that he wouldn't let him slack off. And they made him train as hard as it was possible for the last 6 to 8 weeks. He was leaving his family. I think that Brandon Curry does this when he goes to Dubai. Leaving his family back in Jacksonville, Steve, and going down to Gold's Gym and working with Charles and Chris and having them, to put it crudely, fuck him up for the last 8 weeks. Living in a little apartment 5 minutes away from Gold's Gym and having them smash him in the gym, knowing full well that they would get the best out of him, that they wouldn't let him slack off because he was Mr. Olympia, because he had great genetics. So if a top professional, one of the handful still alive champion bodybuilders of all time, knew that he had to be pushed really hard in the gym to get the best out of him, then the same applies to you. Now, what do you think about, Steve, some listeners, some users who think about anabolic steroids will compensate for poor training, and the difference that's made between still training your ass off and still doing the work at the table versus allowing the drugs to compensate for slacking off?
Yeah, I'm simply put, it's just not true. We've seen some guys on social media put out studies that have shown that people who use anabolic steroids and don't do anything still build muscle. But what they don't understand, you know, those studies are true, but what they don't understand is those people in those situations were extremely undersized, and they were people who, or they were people who were really, really muscular before, fell off the wagon, and then went back on. So, of course, with that body memory built in, you're able to come back quicker. It's just the analogy that I've used before, but I'm going to bring it up again. I haven't used this analogy in maybe a couple of years. I used to train in Ironman, and I used to train with guys who would go to Hawaii and compete at the highest level. I never made it to Hawaii, those highest levels. It was just way out of my economic spectrum to even try that, because once you do get to that point, you've got to have sponsors. You got to have people who help you fund the trips and the expensive bicycles that you need and all this stuff and hotel stays and all that stuff and missed work. I just could not do it at the time economically, and I still can't do something like that. But long story short, one of the guys I used to train with, he broke his leg. It was a freak accident. He broke his leg playing soccer. And so he could not run for like 3 or 4 months. He had to wait for his leg to heal. During that 3 or 4 months, I kept training, and I was gradually improving. And we would start training together, and he was way ahead of me prior, right? So after about 4 or 5 months, he was back running again, and we would go running, and I would be ahead of him. So I'd be the one pushing him. Well, fast forward 2 months after that, he was back faster than me. Even though he hadn't trained for 3 or 4 months straight, he couldn't run on his leg. He was still, 2 months after he became able to run, ahead of me. Why? Because he had the body and the muscle memory prior. So that's where those studies are flawed, and they're just not true. But if you're at a level already where you've been grinding in the gym for years and you want to take it to another level, you can't just take steroids and sit on your ass. You still have to train. You still have to push that muscle. You've got to be a little uncomfortable in the gym. When it comes to training hard, I like to switch that to be a little uncomfortable in the gym. Push a little more to failure. I know the lactic acid hurts when you're finishing up that last rep or two. That lactic acid and the pumps, it hurts on your muscles. But if you could push through that and be a little uncomfortable, be a little more sore after your workout, have a little harder time walking out of the gym on a leg day, that's where you're able to improve. And that's where you're able to grow. And that's where you're forcing your body to. And then you've got to obviously combine that with proper nutrition and sleep as well. If you can do that, you'll be in great shape. But you've got to push yourself. Professional athletes at the highest level, we've seen them all the time. They'll have a great season. They'll be a free agent. Some team will swoop in, pick them up, sign them to a 5-year extension, $100-some million, right? And then they're with their new team, and the fans are so excited to see them. They buy their jerseys and all this stuff. And then they end up having really, really poor season. And they just play, they have really mediocre play. Well, what happened there? What happened there is they were in a contract year, so they really pushed themselves to the point where they were extremely uncomfortable, trained their balls off, really pushed themselves during the season and had a fantastic year and put up a lot of stats. But once they got that contract and that offseason, they went to Cancun, they went to Tahiti, whatever. They went to South Pacific Island, stayed there for a month. They went on vacation and they chilled and they lost that push. They lost that motivation because, hell, I got my contract. Now I'm good. I don't have to push myself as hard anymore. I don't have to be uncomfortable when I'm training. I can just kind of take a step back and relax a little bit. And just that little bit of change made them from a great player to a mediocre player. And then the fans are up their ass. Oh, why did the GM give this guy all this money? Well, it's not the GM's fault. The GM can't control what the player does in the offseason. The GM can't control that the player went and ordered a dozen donuts, okay? And the player wasn't eating as good as he had before when he was in a contract year, right? We see that all the time in pro sports. Well, it's the same thing here. You got to be uncomfortable. You get that craving for the donut, okay? Like at work, I used to work in an office. Someone would order a dozen donuts, the company or something. It'd be sitting right there. And people would come in every morning and grab a donut out of the donut box. I would resist the urge. It's uncomfortable because it's sitting right there. It's got those little sprinkles on top. You got to resist the urge. It's uncomfortable, but it's okay. It'll pass. It's the same thing when you're weight training. You're weight training and, oh my God, the burn, that lactic acid. My muscles feel like they're going to explode. Or I'm running, I'm doing cardio, and I'm doing a wind sprint, a 1.5-mile wind sprint, which I like to do. And it's uncomfortable. I'm feeling lightheaded. I'm feeling dizzy. I'm feeling nauseous. But you got to fucking just push through it a little bit. And then once you push through it and you finish, you're like, damn, I'm glad I didn't quit. Same thing. You got to be a little uncomfortable. That's how you get stronger. That's how your body is strong. Your body's a machine, and it's got to be trained to push harder. That's how you get stronger. It's not by giving up. Oh, I'm uncomfortable. I feel dizzy. Let me just stop at a mile. No, push through that extra half a mile. You could do it. Oh, I'm uncomfortable. My muscles hurt. I'm going to stop my rep. No, push through. When you're really, really uncomfortable, push through an extra rep. As long as you're doing it with proper form and you're not cheating on the rep, push through on that final rep and then push through one more rep. That's how you make your body stronger. That's what you got to do to get better and improve. That's the difference in the gym mobster that I see from guys absolutely. Who look a certain way and guys who go to the gym every fucking day. They go to the gym more than me and they look average and they can't improve. That's the fucking difference. They're not pushing themselves in the gym. They're just going there, which is fine. That's their business. Nobody has to do what I want to do. Some people just want to get out of the house and get away from their nagging wife or get away from their roommate for an hour. That's fine. And they just go to the gym. There's nothing wrong with that, but you're not going to improve that way. That's my point. Go ahead. Now,
if you're listening to this podcast, it's because you want that edge. You want something special. Let me give you a couple of examples. Right. On our forums, the pro bodybuilder, he came up with a phrase the other day, Stephen, it stuck in my mind. I actually love this phrase. Now, he was talking about 25 sets, I think for chest, but here's the line. He says, I train until I think I'm going to die, then I stop. That's a great line right there. I'm thinking of Tom Platz. There are photographs and videos from back in the day, Steve. I think in late 70s, early 80s when I saw him. And you've got him on a leg extension machine and the fucking machine's moving across the floor in the gym. And at some point, he's got people helping him do partial leg extensions. And he looks like his soul's leaving his body. There are people that have trained with him when he was doing side laterals and a shoulder workout. And it got to the point where the dumbbell was barely leaving the side of the body and he was still trying to activate muscle fibers in his shoulder. So here's the thing, and this is the reason. It says, if the title, training hard in the gym, why? To get the best results. Now, I will touch on one more thing before we finish up. And Steve just talked about this. Myself included, regardless of how heavy the weights I use and whatever else, one of the things that I sometimes do to myself psychologically, Steve, to get myself through the really fucked up, I know I'm going to feel horrible afterwards stuff, is that the set And I'll use those hammer curls that I referred to earlier on as an example. That set lasts 45 or 50 seconds, and it's an enormous weight. And I'm throwing it around. I mean, it's a whole body exercise when you're throwing it around. I'm holding onto a machine. I've got to keep my core tight. I've got to keep my feet planted. I know that the brachial muscle might be cramping up later, but it's a moment in time. And it's a moment in time that I'm throwing around a 200-pound fucking dumbbell for reps. That's going to fuck me up. That's going to make those brachial muscles cramp. But it's only a moment in time. It's only once a week. And that second, that set only lasts 46 seconds, Steve, 50 seconds, a minute, maybe, tops. Probably 40 seconds, less. And I'll moan about it. I might lay on the floor of the gym or sit on a bench and sweat on the hoods, but it's for a minute. My breathing calms down. My heart, blood pressure drops. I stop moaning like a bitch about how horrible it is. I know I'm going to feed afterwards. I know I can go home and have a lay down or whatever. It's a moment in time of stupid levels of intensity that's going to fuck me up and keep my arms around 20 inches and make my brachial muscles cramp and keep my forearms stupidly muscular and so on and so forth and make me the fucking 300-pound fucking beast that I am as we record this podcast. It's a moment in time, listener. That's all it is. So I know that sometimes these things are super uncomfortable and hard, but you will get the best results from properly done, structured, consistent, disciplined, but hard and brief training. And that's the reason why you should do it. If you want the best results, the best gains, the most muscle gains, if you do a stack and you want the best results from the stack, if you are fasting like Steve talks about, or doing the most hardcore fucking diet known to mankind, then train your ass off is the way to go to get the best results. Half-ass training, half-ass results. Full ball, bollocks on the table, put my fucking self out there, my soul's leaving my body for 5 minutes, and you'll get the best results. And that, if for no other reason, is the reason why you should train hard in the gym. Please note, we are not doctors and opinions. Ours is our view, and based on our experience and views on the topic, a podcast for informational purposes and entertainment only, the freedom of speech and the First Amendment applies.